This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. Just a quick reminder, after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we have, because the breakfast grill, as we do every day. And Han, you're going to be speaking to Mohammad Yazid Jaffa, CEO of Johor Petroleum Development Corporation, Berhad, incorporated as a federal agency with the mandate to transform Johor into a downstream oil and gas hub.
Okay, so guys, be prepared for quite a few acronyms there. So JPDC, that's the Johor Petroleum Development Corporation. Their biggest project is pretty much the Pengerang Integrated Petroleum Complex. That's
PIPC.
Well done, Sharad Kutin.
I can get this.
So look, PIPC, you know, down there in Pengerang, it's this massive, massive project, over 20,000 acres. Petronas is already there with the RAPID project. So RAPID is a part of the larger PIPC. Obviously, you got Saudi Aramco involved there as well. That made headlines earlier this year. Dialogue is also there. But the question here is who else is set to come, because you've got only 25% of the land down there at PIPC is being taken up by Petronas's RAPID. So there's another 75% more to go, right? Who else is JPDC going to entice to fill up that space? So that's one aspect of the conversation. The other aspect will be this, though. Can PIPC compete with Singapore?
I think that's the elephant in the room, really.
That's right, you know, because they're already a major oil storage and refining hub in the world, you know, so...
But it's a Johor elephant, and speaking as a Johor boy, Brand 2 is a Johor boy, we know we can do it.
And yeah. There'll be,
Johor boleh.
And there'll be two Johoran elephants as well, because it's not just PIPC Pengerang. On the other side of Johor, on the Malacca Strait side, they've also got the Asia Petroleum Hub. And that deal over there has got China's China Railway Engineering Corporation, CREC. They just signed a deal there. They revived it. So question here is that downstream oil and gas pie big enough for PIPC, for APH, Asia Petroleum Hub, and Singapore?
Okay, coming back to the news and pies, the government, of course, wanting a larger share of the tax pie that's available. And it's because we've had news the last couple of months about taxing the digital economy. Now, foreigners using Airbnb here in Malaysia may soon have to pay the tourism tax that has been imposed on hotels. Customs have reportedly agreed in principle to collect the 10 ringgit bed tax from Airbnb customers, but only from foreigners. Now, how in the world are they going to find out who's staying where?
Well, this is where Airbnb has to be compliant. I mean, Airbnb has already said they have the will to cooperate with this tourism tax. So all this was in the Malaysian Reserve, their cover story there. So again, this move to charge that 10 ringgit bed tax on foreigners only. That's in line with the tourism tax, which was rolled out on September 1st here in Malaysia. Now, earlier this year, here on the Breakfast Grill, I mean, we had the Malaysian Association of Hotel Owners, also Swiss Garden International and the like, and they all spoke out against the unlevel playing field, right, that's seen between the regulated hotel industry versus these accommodation sharing platforms which are unregulated. So hopefully this move will kind of balance out the disparity there. Also, real quick, I just got a note from an industry player who touted this move as, quote, very good.
Yeah, so Airbnb has maintained the position that basically they have no issue paying the tax and will work with local authorities. And apparently they have done so, partnered governments across the world. So on that side, there's no the playing field then becomes level with the local players. And I think that's a very smart move on Airbnb's part to comply compared to the confrontational stance that the likes of Uber used to take against governments.
Right. So I guess it's, you know, anyone's guess right now as to how much customs could collect with this hotel tax being extended into the Airbnb space as well. And again, for foreign customers only. But here are some of the numbers that we know so far. So for example, Airbnb has over 17,000 active listings across Malaysia. Now, that's more than double from what they had in the previous year, 130% on-year growth, right? And the average occupancy rate for Airbnb listings, at least for the first few months of this year, according to The Edge, was about a third, about 34% or so per month.
Yeah, and also their inbound guests have grown 248% year-on-year. It's expected to bring in almost 30 million ringgit in revenue. And if that growth is sustained, that could be a really significant source of revenue for the government on top of the 600 to 900 million ringgit that expected to be collected from hotel tax. So, that's more money for the government coffers.
Now, also, this move to tax Airbnb is not, of course, new. They say that as of May 2017, Airbnb has agreements with over 275 jurisdictions and collected and paid more than 1 billion ringgit in hotel and tourist tax worldwide.
So it looks like Malaysia is set to be next on that list.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's look at Carey Island. According to Transport Minister Dato' Sri Leo Tong Lai, the planned Carey Island port development is necessary to handle future demand. He said that Westport's expanded terminal with an expected handling capacity of 30 million 20-foot equivalent units, or TEUs, is not enough. Now, is that disputed?
Well, that is being disputed, and we'll hear from a freight forwarder in just a bit. But, I mean, just to recap here, this story, this was an exclusive by The Star way back in January, I think January 9th of this year. Essentially, this massive port over there in Carey Island, which is pretty much dominated by the palm oil industry right now, they're going to build a massive port right there. Now, according to reports, the Carey Island port is said to have a capacity of 30 million TEUs. And that's going to be what Westport's maximum is expected to be by the year 2030 or so. You know, but again, you know, just to kind of throw up some numbers here, this massive Carey Island project is expected to be worth some 200 billion ringgit.
Yeah, and it's going to cover an area of about 100 square kilometers. And just to give you a perspective, twice the size of Putrajaya. It will be a 20-year project, which includes the industrial parks, free trade zone, commercial and residential phases. And the GDV of the three phases is expected to reach 1 trillion ringgit.
Now, earlier this year on The Breakfast Grill, we spoke to Alvin Chua, president of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders, and he suggested that Carey Island Port may be one too many, seeing as existing ports in Malaysia are not fully utilised.
Actually, our ports, we have not reached the capacity of our port yet. And we also have to seriously look at Singapore. They are building the Tuas, which is going to be a 65 million TEUs container port. From 30 million, they are going to handle 65 million in, say, 10 years. All right. So we say we want to compete with them. But it's not the port that will determine, you know, whether the ship want to come or not. It's the shipping line themselves will determine whether I want to call your port or not. Recently, in April, because of the merger and acquisition of the port and the and forming of the three big alliance, 20% of the goods of the container moved back to Singapore, even though our cost is cheaper than Singapore.
That was Alvin Chua, President of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders.
Yeah, so once again, it's not just assessing the capacity, or at least the potential capacity for the existing ports. You've got to consider what's happening across the causeway as well in Singapore, and also global trends. Now, whether this global demand for Malaysia's, the global demand will continue to be sustained. Now, granted, we have seen double-digit on-year growth for exports and imports, but that's for this year. Once you got this high base effect, going into next year, you know, can we see similar kind of growth, at least enough to keep all these ports busy, Malaysia's, Singapore's, you know, across the region, and who knows, maybe even this Carey Island port.
Okay, keeping our focus down south, next, after the bulletin, we have, remember, Mohd Yazid Jaffar, CEO, Johor Petroleum Development Corporation, Berhad. Coming up soon, the news and more. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.